صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, last week we were discussing a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reported by many sahabas, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, being rahmatul lil alameen, gave a prescription for weak ummatis like us also. There are many hadiths in which great virtues have been mentioned of certain actions and deeds. ND 83843. However, it is not possible for everybody to attain those virtues because of some weakness or the other. But Islam, Shariat and Deen being for everyone, for all times, people until the day of Qiyamah. So prescriptions have been given for the weak, for the strong, for everyone. So this hadith that we were discussing, it has been mentioned that, or the gist of it is, the first four part of it we have already covered, but I will just go through it again. That Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that if you cannot attain eight things, you do not have the capacity, there is a weakness, there is a shortcoming, or for whatever reason, you cannot attain eight virtues, then at least do the following things and you will get that same reward of those people who have been able to attain those eight virtues. The first thing that was mentioned is that the person who cannot get up for tahajjud salat, he is a deep sleeper, or due to laziness or whatever reason he cannot get up for tahajjud salat, then at least do not commit any sins during the day and night. Then you will get that same reward of those people that are making tahajjud salat. Of course, it does not mean that you should not make tahajjud salat. What it means is that even the weak ones are not deprived, because they will be making so much of mujahidah, the 24 hours of the day. There's so much of mujahidah to make, to restrain oneself from sins. So this person will get much, much more, in fact, than even that person who is making tahajjud salat but not restraining himself from haram. That person who is making tahajjud salat very regularly, but after that, during the day he is indulging in sins. So this person who is abstaining, who is refraining, who is restraining himself, is making mujahidah and restraining himself from sins, he will get, in fact, much more sawab than even those people that are making tahajjud. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you cannot get up for tahajjud, for due to some weakness or laziness, that I am just giving an explanation, then do not be disappointed. Do not think that you are deprived altogether. Do not think that you will not be able to get Jannat and the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because tahajjud is an optional ibadat. It's an optional prayer. It is not farz, it is not wajib. But it is farz to stay away from haram. So this person, he is fulfilling such an important duty, and that is that he is staying away from haram and he is with taqwa all the time. So this person who is in taqwa all the time, I remember my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, one alim said that I try my best to stay with wuzu all the time. So he said, wuzu ke saath rehne ki kya fazilat hai, what are the virtues of staying with wuzu, in wuzu all the time? So he said, wuzu ke saath raho ya na raho, wuzu ba wuzu hamesha raho ya na raho, lekin aankhon ko hamesha ba wuzu rakho.
Subhanallah.
He says, at least keep your eyes clear from impurities. Whether you remain with wuzu all the time or not, it's not farz wajib. Namaz time you need wuzu, recitation of the Quran Sharif. When you are holding the Quran Sharif, you need wuzu, but it's not farz and wajib to remain in wuzu all the time, although there are so much of virtues of remaining in wuzu. As the Shaykh Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he says that aksar jinn aur jadu ka asar un logo par padta hai ke jo apni taharat ka khayal nahi karte. Those who are not particular about their taharat, like they are just staying without ghusl for a long, long time, for hours and hours without ghusl. It is permissible if the ghusl became farz or wajib at night. It is permissible that before fajr you take the ghusl. But unnecessarily to stay without ghusl for a long, long time, he says, uske baad shaitani asrat takes over. So most of those, we are talking about the believers, as far as the disbelievers are concerned, they can stay in janabat all the time. No shaitan and jinn affects them because they are already 100% shaitan. So the person who is already 100% shaitan, what shaitan is going to affect them? People always tell us that why is it doesn't affect those people? Doesn't affect them because there's nothing there that the shaitan will get out from there. Shaitan always tries to break in where there is some gold, silver, and that is the gold and silver of iman. So Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh put great emphasis on this point, that as far as possible, take ghusl quickly if there is a need to take ghusl, and stay in wuzu as much as possible. Inshallah, these effects will not come anywhere near you. So this person, he is staying away from sins. So he will get those rewards that those people who make tahajjud, they are getting. Or in fact, even much more if those people are not abstaining from sins. Then the second thing that we discussed, that if a person is unable to keep nafil rozas and fast, nafil roza and fast the person is unable to keep, because there are so many nafil rozas that people try to keep, the 13th, 14th and 15th of the month. What's the number? Just give the number. 293229 and 94. So if the person cannot keep nafil roza, then at least keep the roza of the tongue. That means the person should abstain from speaking anything that is haram, anything that is evil. Keep fast of the tongue. If he cannot keep nafil fast, Allah will not question him on the day of Qiyamah that why you didn't keep the Ashura fast, why you didn't keep the Muharram fast or Shawwal fast or any other nafil fast, why didn't you keep the Zilhijjah fast, that he will not be questioned. But if he did not keep the fast of the tongue, then he will be questioned, because this tongue, it creates great amount of problems. And also it can gain a person great amount of virtues. It is the few words of the tongue that a person becomes a believer. 90 years he was making Ram Ram, but now just once he said Allah Allah wa la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he becomes deserving of Jannat. So it is the same tongue. With a few words the person became a mu'min, and with a few words the person became a kafir or a disbeliever. It is the same tongue that he says, Nakah tuha wa qabil tuha, I accept so and so in my marriage as my wife. So that woman who was totally haram, that woman who was a total stranger to him, that woman from whom this person had, that she was a ghair mahram, there was supposed to be parda between them, but now just with those two words, she has become his wife and she has become halal. So haram became halal with a few words. And now this wife has become halal. Again, it's just a few words that I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and that's the end of the marriage altogether. So it's the same tongue which builds up friendship and which creates enmity. A few good words cheerfully spoken, the person becomes a friend. And a few words of swearing, and that same person becomes an enemy. This tongue, you can make zikr, you can make tilawat, and you can get plenty of sawab and reward in the book of deeds. And with the same tongue, you make some ghibat, you gossip about people, or you speak lies, or you take a false oath and qasam, and the same thing loads up our book with evil deeds. So this tongue, keep the roza of that if you cannot keep nafil fast. Nafil fast we will not be questioned, but keep the fast of this tongue. Restrain this tongue. Then the person will get those same rewards that all those people are getting who are keeping plenty of nafil rozas. Keeping plenty of nafil roza and then passing time in haram is not going to gain the person anything. Instead of that, restrain the tongue. Then the third thing we said, that if a person cannot get those stages of the great scholars of Islam, the ulama-i haq, the mufassireen, the muhaddiseen, I'm giving you an explanation of the hadith. The person cannot get those stages because he did not have the time to go and study the tafsir and the fiqh and the hadith. Or that person, for some other reason, does not have the capacity to become an alim, a mufti. So what should such a person do? So such a person should ponder, he should reflect over Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's creation. That means every now and again he is reflecting, he is pondering, he is looking at the skies, he is looking at the waters of the ocean, he is looking at the trees of the jungle and the forest, he is looking at the fish in the aquarium with the beautiful colors, he is looking at the birds which are flying, he is looking at the creatures, the insects, the reptiles, the fibians, the amphibians, everything he is looking at. And he is saying, oh Allah, this is your qudrat. So this person, if he is making his namaz, he is keeping his fast, he is giving his zakat, he is going for hajj, he is staying away from other haram, but he does this type of tafakkur, he ponders, he reflects, Allah Ta'ala will raise him on the day of qiyamah with those ulama, with those mufassireen, with those muhaddiseen. What an easy way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us, for weak ones like us, to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that nobody on the day of qiyamah can say that I did not have the capacity, or I was weak, I could not do this. Now what is difficult in this? Is it difficult that a person gets up, for example, late part of the night, he got up. Now at that time, you say, what must he do? What can he reflect over? He can reflect over that same sleep of his. That, oh Allah, a little while ago I was in deep sleep. It was as if death had overtaken me. And now again you brought me back to life. This is the way how you will get us up again on the day of Qiyamah. Just as how you put us off to sleep and then you return the soul to our bodies. In the same way, when we are going to go into the graves, we will turn to dust. But on the day of judgment again we will arise. So now this person is making tafakkur, is concentrating, is reflecting, is pondering. So this person will get those same rewards. Or if he cannot go very far, then just pick up his thumb and just look at it and say, oh Allah, look at your qudrat. That billions and billions and billions of people have come into this world and no mother goes to inform the other mother that please don't bring a child into this world with a certain thumb impression and thumbprint because I've already got one in this world. Nobody goes. And yet, no two persons' thumbprints are the same. Now, this is what we mean by the person is now getting closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by looking at everything. He's taking ibrat from all those things that are around. From the darkness he can take ibrat at night. During the day from the sun he can take ibrat. So in this way he will get those same rewards that those people who are mufassireen, muhaddiseen, etc. Then we said that the person who does not go for jihad, or he does not have the strength now for jihad, or the person is gone old, or he does not have the expertise, or he did not do physical exercise, or he did not do the training, and there is jihad that is taking place. So what should this person do? So this person, if he cannot go for jihad, like we at present, there is no jihad that is taking place here. So for such people, how will they get the rewards that the shuhada are getting? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised such a great deal for those who are shaheeds, for those who become martyred in his path. So now for such people, it is said that you make jihad against your nafs. Make jihad against your nafs, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise you with those mujahideen. Because this person has to make jihad 24 hours of the day. There's so much of jihad he has to make. He has to make jihad in the marketplace, he has to make jihad in the shop, he has to make jihad in the school, in the college, he has to make jihad on the streets, he has to make jihad at the airports, he has to make jihad at the bus stops, he has to make jihad everywhere. Because everywhere there is an invitation towards evil. And this person is taking that sword of La Ilaha, and he is knocking it, and he is bringing into his heart the Noor of Illallah. So this sword he is striking at the throat and at the neck of all those evil desires all the time. So this person is a great mujahid. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that we have returned from small jihad to big jihad. Rajana min jihad al-asghar ila jihad al-akbar. He called the jihad against the nafs jihad al-akbar, because that is where we all fail. So this person, he cannot say that I could not gain those great stages of the shuhada, because he had the opportunity of making jihad against his nafs all the time. There was so much of scope for him to make jihad all the time. Now we go on, we proceed, we had covered in a little detail the four aspects, now we go one step further, and that person who is unable to give plenty of charities. Lots of people say that we do not have the money. At present they say business is bad and we cannot give charities. Or even if the person is not running a business and he is just working and he is earning a limited amount of salary and he is just making ends meet, so now the person says that how can I get the rewards of those people who are giving thousands of rands or hundreds of thousands of rands, those people who are giving, how can I get those rewards? So you can see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmatul lil alameen, Allah Ta'ala did not even deprive the poor of getting those rewards of those people who are making tremendous amount of sacrifice in the way of charities. They are told that whatever deeni talk that you listen to, any hadith that you listen to, any Quranic verse that you hear, any incident in the life of the Sahaba-e-Kiram that you listen to, anything that is of deen, any masla of deen that you have learnt, then convey it to somebody else. Look at that. What an easy way. What a beautiful way. For example, now in this majlis, you have learnt a few things. This same hadith now. Now you go and convey it to somebody. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will raise these people with those people who are making giving plenty of charities. Provided, of course, the namaz, roza, zakat and the fara'is are in the person's life, he's staying away from haram. And now he is conveying this message of deen to others. Whatever little he is learning, he goes and tells it to his wife, he goes and tells it to his brother, he somehow conveys it to his friend. So this person will get the reward of those people who are giving plenty of charities. What a beautiful way, easy and simple. Of course, that does not mean that we should not give charities. Those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with wealth, so many ayats of the Quran Sharif are encouraging. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave that risk, now spend out of that in his cause. So for all the good causes that rich person spends, or the person who has got wealth spends, but now that poor person who was feeling disappointed that he cannot gain those rewards, and on the day of Qiyamah he will not be able to stand together with them, now Al-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is showing the person a simple way out, that you, it is not something that you have to spend from your pocket. If you have learned a masla of deen, if you have heard a hadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you have recorded it properly in your brains and in your memory, then all that is required is to use the tongue. And the same tongue will now get you great rewards. That the person just speaks a little, he uses his tongue, he conveys that hadith to somebody, that Quranic verse to somebody, that masla to somebody, as long as it is conveyed authentically. We must listen carefully. We mustn't be like that person who was sitting, and when he was listening to one talk. After that talk, when he went outside, then he went to the bar and he started drinking. So somebody asked him and said that, why are you drinking? He said, because the Quran Sharif said, the person did not make namaz, he was not making any namaz. So he said, the Quran Sharif said, I heard one talk of one Maulana, that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الصَّلَاةِ, that don't go close to Salat. So he says, I heard that. When Maulana said it, it's a Quranic verse. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الصَّلَاةِ, don't go close to Salat. So therefore, I'm not making any Salat. So he said, but what about after that, what the Maulana asked? Didn't he discuss the ayat after that, or didn't he complete that ayat? وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى, that when you are drunk, this was the early stage before the ayats of prohibition had been revealed, of liquor. So he said, when you are drunk, at that time, don't make namaz. So he said, well, that part I didn't hear. I heard the first half and I walked out. My stomach was aching a little and I had to run to the toilet. So therefore, I didn't listen to the other part. So we must not be like those people. We must listen to the complete ayat, listen to the complete hadith, and convey it correctly and authentically. As somebody said, Tawbah hum jab karenge sharab o kabab se, Tawbah hum jab karenge sharab o kabab se, jab ke Quran mein kulu wa shrabu na ho. Now the Quran Sharif says, kulu wa shrabu, eat and drink. So he says, the Quran says must eat and drink. So if I am going to drink wine, I'm going to drink alcohol, I eat anything that's haram, halal, because the Quran Sharif says, kulu wa shrabu. So immediately the alim responded, he said, baat hum tumhari jab karenge taslim, jab uske aage wala tusrifu na ho. That we will only listen to you and believe you, when after that is wala tusrifu, and in that all the haram things are forbidden. So in any case, this is the thing that the person, he has heard. He has heard some hadith, he had heard some Quranic verse, some masla, then convey it, inshallah he will be raised on the day of Qiyamah with those people who have been giving plenty of charities. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, according to this riwayat by many sahabas, he says that the person who cannot undertake hajj, he cannot go for pilgrimage. Lots of people say that when people are going for hajj, at that time our heart is in Makkah Sharif, but we don't have the money. If only we had the money, we too should have gone for hajj. We too should have seen the Kaabatullah. We too should have been in Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat. Allah. So indeed the person's desire is there. Now what must this person do because he doesn't have the money? So look at Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says that such people must make sure that they present themselves for the Jummah Salat properly. That means they must not only present themselves at the Jummah Salat in the last minutes of the Jummah and then slapdash namaz and then walk out. They must make ihtimam of the Jummah and go for the Jummah Salat. Inshallah, they will get the same reward as those people who are going for Hajj. So then our ladies will say that the men folk are going for Jummah. Now in this hadith, it shows that the ladies will not be able to get this fazilat. So again, Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes to mind that Hazrat Asma bint Yazid radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she came to Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are more dear to me than even my parents. Every sahabi loved Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than his own parents, his own children, his own wealth, his own property and everything else. So he said, you are more dear to me than my own parents. But Ya Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a Nabi for both the men and the women. The women have deputed me. They have made me their representative. I'm giving you the gist, it's a lengthy hadith. They have made me their representative. They have said that I must come and ask you a question. Now look at the ladies also in those days. What kind of question they are asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Said, the ladies have sent me and they said, I must ask you a question. That you are a Nabi for both men and women. Now, when the men folk, then she says after that, she says that we are most of the times confined to the four walls of our home. Most of the time we are in our homes, in our houses. We fulfill the carnal desires of our husbands. We prepare their food. We rear their children. And we do this and we do that. And she mentioned whatever the women do at home. And the men folk, they excel. They go for Jummah Salat. They go for Janaza Salat. They go for Jihad. And again when they go for Jihad, then we are caring for the children. And we are weaving the cloth. And we are doing this and we are doing that. So Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will we also share in those rewards which they are getting by going for Jummah Salat, by going for Janaza Salat, by going for the five Salat, by going for Jihad? Now will we get a share in that because we are in the homes? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And he did not want to put the women under that kind of pressure. Imagine a woman has got five children. Now if we say they must go to the masjid and make namaz, if it was wajib for them, what great difficulty they would have been in. Those three, four children at home, now they must go for Jamaat Salat in the masjid. So Shariat is something that gives everybody their rights, and there's great wisdom in whatever Shariat makes farz and wajib and on whomever it makes farz and wajib. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahabas that, did you ever hear a woman ask a better question than this woman? that she wants to know if they will get a share in the rewards without going for jihad, without going for Jummah, without going for jihad. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba said that, no, we haven't heard anything like that. Then Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, go and tell the women that if they please their husbands, if they seek the pleasure of their husbands, and they carry out their domestic duties to his satisfaction, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them the same rewards that they get in going for Jummah, in going for Jihad, in going for this, in going for that. So that same Hajj sawab they are going to get too. They will get the Jummah Salat sawab. Even though they don't come, but they will get that sawab. But of course, it is a two-way traffic. It's not a one-way traffic. Husbands listen to this, and they tell the wives, you see, you must please the husbands at all cost. Or they will only read one hadith to those wives. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that if I had ordered anybody to make sajda, then I would have ordered the women to make sajda to their husbands. So that's all. Only two hadiths the husbands have learnt. Whereas, it's a two-way traffic. There must be give and take. There must be accommodation of both sides. Both sides must love each other, must care for each other, must understand each other, must tolerate each other, must overlook the shortcomings and faults of each other. There must be no question of just going by the book of rights, as I always say. We must go by the book of ihsan, go by the book of khidmat, go by the book of service, go by the book of charity and generosity and kindness, and then see how you succeed. And then after that, if the wife is still disobedient, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward that person tremendously. Or if the woman has tried her level best, but the husband is a tyrant, he is a sheep or a lamb in the masjid, but he is a lion at home, and is roaring all the time, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward this woman for her patience and for her sabr. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, otherwise they will get a share. They must not think that we are at home, we are doing these things all the time, and we are not getting those rewards that those men are getting. So therefore, let us also get out of the house, and we must also go for Jummah Salat, we must also go for Jihad, we must also do everything that the men folk are doing, because it's the times of equality of sexes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Shariat and Deen, my dear sisters at the madrasa, gave the woman folk a little duty. But when they said that, no, we want equality, here she had to care just for one husband and her 2-3 children. But they felt that that was limiting their rights, or it was trampling upon their liberty, and there was no equality. So what happened is that they went out. Now when they went out, that same woman who was finding it humiliating to serve one husband, now 400 passengers on an airway flight, she is serving them. And somebody is cursing her, somebody is swearing her, somebody is teasing her, somebody is casting lustful glances at her, and somebody is requesting over and over, bring me this, bring me that. Now she is serving 400 husbands there. But she does not find that humiliating and disgraceful. And to add to that, some of our Muslim girls have even gone one step further. They think that that is something great, it's a prestige and it's an honor to be a hostess. And what they are doing? Serving liquor there. And they know the names of every kind of brandy and wine on the list. I personally saw one Muslim girl, because she made salam to me, a hostess, and then she started serving liquor and wine and brandy or whatever the other passengers were requesting. So this is what you get when you trample upon Sharia, or when you consider Sharia as being unfair, unjust. Then you have to serve much, much more people. That is only we're talking about the aeroplane. But look at our businesses. She was not prepared to listen to one husband. Now she has to listen to the manager, she has to listen to the directors, she has to listen to the everybody that's there above her in the businesses. If she becomes a school teacher, she must listen to the inspectors, she must listen to the directors, she must listen to everybody. She just has to listen to everybody, because she was not prepared to serve one husband, or she was not prepared to remain in the house and do any domestic duty. If we just have to ponder over this, there's great wisdom in whatever Sharia does. Yes, there are emergencies. There are certain situations which are beyond a person's control. Or there are such women who are widows and there is nobody to support them and maintain them. There's nobody to help them to pay the rent, light and water. Now such women, if they go in decent, modest garb, and they go and work to the extent that is necessary, then it is an exception to the rule. We must not make it like a general rule. At present, it is not for necessities. At present, most of them are not going because it is necessary. Many, many fathers are multi-rich, and they can not only support those 4, 5, 6 daughters, but they can support many, many more daughters, and they can support many sisters too, and they can support many mothers too. But still, why are they going then? What is the need? Yes, do something from home, or if it's a father's business, then sit in some office right at the back there and do some invoicing, some marking, some packaging. There are so many things a person can do. We are not saying that must stifle them, but what we are saying is that don't expose them to every Tom, Dick and Harry to enjoy casting his glances and to rape the woman in his heart. How many of our Muslim sisters are visually raped all the time when they are dressed in modern garb, in nuded, even semi-naked dresses, and when they are applying perfume and walking down in the streets? How many, many strangers must be raping them visually? Where is our sharam? Where is our haya? Where is our modesty gone? So this is what I am saying, that here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is giving us this beautiful hadith, so that we do not say that Islam is difficult. The deen is difficult. Deen is easy, it is practical, and it is for everybody. 40 minute ho gayi. Maulana says 5 minutes left. So in the 5 minutes we will. So the person who cannot, what we are talking about, the person who cannot go for Hajj, then he must go for Jummah namaz, but make ihtimam of Jummah. It is only for the Imam. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi used to come last minute to the masjid because his house was right next to the masjid. The Sahaba-e Kiram, they used to come away early. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his room, he used to engage in tilawat, in zikr, in ibadat, and then he should just come in time. But the rest of the people, for them, it is that make ihtimam, try and come as early as possible, and inshallah we'll get those same rewards. And then finally, the eighth thing, the eighth virtue, that the person who wants us to reach the stage of Abdal, the highest stage of the Walis, Abdal, but he cannot reach that stage because you need a lot of ibadat, a lot of taqwa, great amount of virtues to reach the stage of the Abdal. One person wrote to Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, "Main Abdal mein se ab ho gaya." He said, "Now I became of the Abdal." He said, "Haan, sahi kehte ho, sahi kehte ho, is the truth. Pehle gosht the, Abdal ho gaya." He said, "Sahi kehte ho, pehle gosht the, Abdal ho gaya." When I was in Nizamuddin, we used to go quite a bit in the Jamaat from the Madrasa those days, from Darul Uloom. So, at the Markaz, one great alim, he used to give always the talk after Maghrib Salat. So one day he says, "Hamare jamaat ke bahut se saathi, ek chilla lagane ke baad, ye samajhte hai ke abdal ban gaye." So many of our jamaat brothers, after spending 40 days or 4 months, they think they have become abdal. He says, "Are mere bhai," and he used to speak just like that, he says, "Are mere bhai, agar dal bhi ban jaye to ghanimat hai. Ek chille ke baad to dal bhi ban jaye to ghanimat hai." So where can we reach the stages of Abdal? Wow. It takes, that means humility is required. The higher the person goes, the more humble he must become. He must not think anything of himself. With his ibadat, what is our ibadat? Is it really worthy of presentation before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So he said, that person who cannot gain that stage of the Abdal, because we are weak, we cannot make that much ibadat, that much zikr, tilawat. So then what must this person do? He said that this person must keep his hand on his chest. Before doing anything, he must keep his hand on his chest. And then he must desire and like for his Muslim brothers and sisters that which he desires and likes for himself. If you have to just make tashri and commentary of this last part, we can speak for hours. That this person who wants to become who wants to get the stages of the Abdal, then he must desire for his Muslim brothers and sisters those same things which he desires for himself. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith. That this person now, in everything, it is not an easy thing. It is very easy to say, but it cuts at the root of jealousy. It cuts at the root of envy. It cuts at the root of malice. It cuts at the root of pride. It cuts at the root of so many things. Because now this person has to desire the same things which he desires for himself. Wow. Now which person in his true senses, unless of course he is a candidate for one of the asylums, but if he is in his true senses, then which person will ever desire any harm coming upon himself? If Allah Ta'ala gives life and an opportunity to continue, then inshallah next Sunday we will continue. Thursday inshallah will be the zikr program. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اے اللہ جو کچھ ہم نے کہا سنا اس کو قبول فرما ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہمیں صحت عافیت سلامتی عزت راحت نصیب فرما اے اللہ اپنا قرب خاص ہم سب کو نصیب فرما جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما جو قرض دار محتاج اور تنگ دست ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما خاتمہ ہم سب کا ایمان کے اوپر فرما اے اللہ سارے عالم کے اندر مسلمان جہاں کہیں پریشان ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما کوسوو کے مسلمانوں کو اے اللہ صبر جمیل اور اجر عظیم عطا فرما اور اے اللہ ان کی پریشانیوں اور تکالیف کو دور فرما اے اللہ جو ہمارے علماء بنگلہ دیش کے اندر گرفتار ہے اللہ ان کے لیے بھی رہائی کی صورت پیدا فرما اور سارے عالم کے اندر جہاں کہیں بھی نیک لوگ اور اے اللہ صحیح معنی میں جو بے گناہ لوگ قید کے اندر پڑے ہوئے ہیں اے اللہ ان سب کے لیے رہائی کی صورت پیدا فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين جزاك الله